Hi, my name is Scott Stanfield. I'm going to show you how to use stored procedures with Link. And the trick here is to use the same kind of OR mapping file that we've been using for all the videos so far, this Northwind DBML file. And I just really need one object here for right now. We'll use product. Now, our stored procedures in a database are down here, and we'll pick this one, get cust order hist, which is the customer order history. And I can just execute that to show you what it does. We'll pick customer number one. And it'll run and put the output here. Okay, I guess that was not the best number to pick. Let me find a customer that actually has something. Let's see. So we'll go to the tables here. Let's show all the table data. Okay. Oh, that's right. They're not numbers. They're letters. So let's use ALFKI. ALFKI. I knew that. Let's run it again. Let's see. Execute SQL. ALFKI is the customer name. And here's our output. Good. Okay. So the trick is let's execute this and map it to a data grid and using Link. So let me close it, go back to the mapping surface. Notice on the right hand side, if this does not show up, if you right click, it's called the methods pane. So you show the method pane and simply drag that over to the right hand side. And we'll save it. Now my web page has a grid view already in it, nothing else, very simple. So in our page load command, I'll simply create an instance of our Northwind database context. And you've seen this pattern before. And let's see, I want to get our query back into a automatic type, what do you call these, the inferred type variable Q here. So we'll do db. And it was called cust order hist. There it is. And I'll just go ahead and hard code ALFKI and take the return of that and stick it inside our data grid. Sorry, grid view. And set its source equal to Q. And go ahead and data bind it. And see if this compiles. Good. And we'll view this in the browser. There we go. So calling the stored procedure is trivial. You just need to drag it over onto the surface and you're good to go. So let's try to do something else. Let's use a stored procedure that returns not only a select statement, but takes a variable and passes it back through the output parameter. So let me find one that we can modify. We have, let's see, get products by category. So it returns four columns. And let's add the number, I want to call it just count. So this will return the count, the number of rows that were found by this query where we go to the products table and find all the matching category IDs. So we'll set that. There's a side effect when you use T-SQL. There's a variable called add row count. And we'll take that and stick it inside our variable select count. There we go. So that'll be take the number of rows found, put it in count, and return it in this output parameter. Ah, I can't forget to put output. There we go. So we'll save it, and then go back to our surface. And let's see, that was get products by category. Easy so far. Save it and go back to our source code. And instead of cust order hist, let's call our new function. It was called get products by category. And look at the function signature. The first, it takes this category ID, and we'll just choose one, which I think is for beverages. And the second one is a reference to a variable, which will return the count. So we need a variable first. And that variable, we need to make it nullable, because that's that could be a null value. So row count, set that equal to zero. And I'll put in the keyword ref, row count. And where can I put that? Let's go back to our web page. And I'll stick an ASP label here. Label ID, label one. There, we have a place to put it. And label one text. Ah, I always do that. I wish template control and template source directory were not here because I use text a lot and I always hit it when I hit control space. Ah, next time. Okay, set the text equal to format good. Show that in the browser. There we go, 11 records. So getting an output parameter from a stored procedure, pretty straightforward. Let's do something else. Let's go back and modify that stored proc. Or, let me take a new one. We have, there's a stored procedure. Where is it? Oh, we use the same one. If I go back to this function and modify it, notice when I execute it, it returns four columns right here. Now these four columns, I gotta pass in a parameter. Let me edit that. These four columns, product ID, product name, category, and unit price, those don't map to any specific object type. What we'd like to do, say, is use this query, but map the return value to the product that's inside the data model class product. So the only way to do that is to use star and make sure that you're returning exactly the same signature that you would expect from products. Once we do this, we can then map it to the product class. And the way we do that, we have to delete this. Let me re-add it. But this time, instead of dropping it here, I'll drop it on top of the product. So now when I save it and go back into my code, this return value Q now should exactly match what's inside of my product. In fact, if I do a for each statement, for each var P in this collection Q, just to kind of walk through it, I get the IntelliSense for P, and you can see, sure enough, category ID, product ID, product name. And the benefit here is that I could take that return value and make modifications to it, and then submit the changes back to the data model. And that allows me to use stored procedures in the same way as if I had a regular select statement. So very, very handy. The final thing I want to show is, let me delete these, I won't need those. The final little bit I want to show is if you're using functions, which are right here, I have a function, really simple. It's just takes a string and converts it to uppercase. Granted, you probably wouldn't normally do this for SQL, but in this case, if you have any kind of function, you do the same kind of move here. You drag it over to this section here. So I now have my upper function. And if I go back into my code right here, let's make a query P and DB products. And we'll select, create a new constrained selection that looks like name equals P product name. But I'll make this uppercase by calling our uppercase function. DB my upper function. There we go. Now this uppercase, it kind of looks like this is a local function, and it's not. It's really code that's going to execute on SQL. So if I save this, in fact, if I hit a breakpoint here, we'll take a look at the query return value through our visualizer. We should get a sense of what that looks like. So if I hover over Q, it doesn't look like I have the query visualization turned on. Well, you can see, though, I don't need it in this case because it's so short. You can see I'm calling the select statement. It's returning product name. And then it's just calling my upper function directly within the SQL. And then the return value, as you would expect, uppercase. So using stored procedures is pretty straightforward. Same procedure for using functions. You can handle output parameters. You can handle multiple select shaped columns, and you can map, if you're returning select star, you can map it directly to the data model implementation of that particular class.